G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Who's got a mobile phone with a camera on it? You don't? Oh, come on. Who's got a mobile? You do? I see on Facebook, or Bookface, a lot of times people, it's Facebook, right? Yeah. That people take a lot of selfies. You know what a selfie is? What's a selfie? A picture of yourself. And they take a picture of themselves, and they post it on Bookface, and they send it out to everybody, and they go, look at me. This is a picture of me. This is what I see about myself. So I encourage you. You can take a picture. I don't take a photo of myself. It's too scary. But it made me think, you know, what do we think about ourselves? What do you think about yourself? And I started to think and pray about that. And when Sister Joy and Pastor Les came over on Friday night, they talked to me, and what they were saying to me was very challenging. It was a firecracker underneath me to pick up my impression of myself. And this morning, I intend to put a grenade underneath you. Not a firecracker, but a grenade. It was good for me. I want it to be great for you. I want it to impact you in a sort of same way that it impacted me. So we're going to look at our identity in Christ. What does God think about us? What do we think about ourselves? So when you think about identity, a few things spring to mind, like a PIN. You know what a PIN stands for? Personal identification number. We've each get given one of those. When you get a bank account, you get given a PIN to identify you so that the computers and the bank tellers and everyone can identify you. That's a means of identification. Your passwords, your fingerprint. Yes, it's a way of identifying you. Your eyes, we're all different. It's another way of identifying me from you. Voice recognition. Now we're getting technical. That you can now go to things like your TV set and go turn on and it says, good morning, Micah. It recognizes your own voice. If I went into that room and I said, turn on, it might just come up, what the? Who are you? Alarms might go off. Your driver's license, the chips in things, all identify you. There's probably many, many, many different ways of identification. And do you know that the devil tries to confuse us? That's one of his weapons, is confusion. Amen? Do we recognize that? That he is a dirty, rotten scoundrel. He sees what God intends for you, and he says, oh, I can't have that. If these people get an inclination or just a little bit of a sniff of what God's intention is for you, I'm in trouble, he says. So I'm going to try and distort that. I'm going to try and change it and throw a lot of cloud and fog over that and twist it and change it around so that you lose your identification. Am I making sense? Or am I confusing you already? So he twists and changes that. He throws and plants in pictures of self-doubt, of low self-worth, he tarnishes our imagination, and we've been hearing a lot about imagination, about what God's intention of our imagination should be. Amen? Or how we should have that a godly picture of ourselves. You know, things of, you know, you're not good enough. You'll only get so far in life. This is how far, you know, you're going to get in life and just be happy with that. But God's word doesn't say that. Thank you, Joy. God's word doesn't say that. You know, the world and the devil says, you know, through different things like the media. Who reads The Woman's Weekly? that's all right for men to read Woman's Weekly, I suppose. But things like the Woman's Weekly, Surf Life, Surfing Life, I used to flick through that a lot. All and different media, the TV, the radio, is constantly bombarding us 24/7 about the things and ways that the world thinks that we should be. We should be thin. We shouldn't be overweight. If we're overweight, we should be going on light and easy. We should be dieting. We should be exercising. We should be going on the world's biggest loser. You know, we should be cool and trendy. By the way, who likes my new shirt? Oh, cool. We should be cool and trendy. We can't be dags. You know, if you're a dag, you don't fit in. You're uncool. You can't be groovy. You won't get that hot chick if you wear polo shirts. You know, you got to have a six-pack. Men, you got to work out. You got to get buff. Well, I've got a one-pack. I'm built for comfort. Women, you got to have the latest hairdo. You got to have the snappiest makeup. You've got to look the part. You've got to have a new dress every week. Otherwise, you won't fit in. You got to have that great job that earns six figures. You can't be a lollipop man and be cool. Am I making sense? Can you see how the devil just loves to put you down? You know, there's so many different things. I could go on and on. We're going to run out of time if I keep on going on and giving all the examples that I've got. But I want to make that clear. He is a liar. So what does God say about you? Well, who are you in Christ? What does the Bible say about your identity? He says that we're chosen by God. We're chosen by God and given a purpose. And you can turn to 1 Peter 2, verse 9, where it says, and I will read this out, so I'll give you a couple of seconds. That's a couple of seconds. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light." What are you? You're a royal priesthood. What else are you? You're a holy nation, a people belonging to God. We belong to him, our creator, our father, who loves each and every one of us. We are all sons and daughters of a living God. How awesome is that? He wants us to know that this morning, that learn anew, to reboot. Is that the right technical term, Michael, for when you get a computer problem, you reboot it, restart, cancel the old stinking thinking, and to reboot and to realize and to get it in here enough times and then into here that we are designed and created by our Heavenly Father to be royalty, to be seated beside him, Jesus, in heaven. That is so cool. Thank you. I hear an amen here. So this is the purpose God has for us. Oftentimes we forget who we are and what God has done for us. So don't compare yourself to others and don't allow feelings of insecurity to rob you of your authority in Christ. It's important that we see ourselves the way that God sees us and then to live in obedience in him. So, because God knows who we really are. And he wants us to start now to realize, to reboot and realize what he has created you to be, Phil. What he has created you to be, Peter. In Psalm 139, verse 13 and 16, you don't need to turn there because I've got quite a few scriptures, but if you want to write these down, by all means do. Psalm 139, 13. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Everyone say fearfully and wonderfully made. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That is so cool. When you stand in the mirror in the morning and you're brushing your teeth and you're wiping the sleep out of your eyes, you look in the mirror and you say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm created in the Father's image. Oh, when we start to realize these things, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, the devil starts quaking in his boots because he knows the more we start confessing it with our mouths too, the more we start confessing, getting that picture of who we are in Christ and start confessing it with our mouths, you've put the ball in motion. And the more momentum that can gather, the more dangerous you are. You're a weapon. You know, we're a chosen people. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this world," just like I read before. In Ephesians 2, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." Oh, there's lots and lots in here. And about being sons of God. Sons and daughters, when it says in the Bible about being sons, that means sons and daughters in God. There's lots in here. Ephesians 1, verse 4 to 5. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. So it's his will for us to realize that we are his sons and daughters. We're family. We are family. Even the unsaved are still family. And his yearning and his will is for them to receive him as their father and to realize that as well, and to come in to become his church and to step up. Galatians 4, verse 6. "Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir." Does anyone know what an heir is? Anyone? An heir. God has, you know, in the natural, you know, when my mum and dad die, they're going to leave me stuff, I assume. They may not, but they might leave me stuff. So as an heir, I'll be receiving that stuff, whatever it may be, whether it be finances or property or whatever. It might be debt, but I'll be receiving that. Now, that's my inheritance. God is so amazing. You know, God will never die, but he's saying, because you're now my son, you have all this available to you right now. You're an heir to the throne. So it's all yours now. I'm not going to give it to you later when you're dead. It's yours now. So take it. And so many of us don't take that. We don't receive that revelation that we've already received it. Andrew Womack was preaching on one of the tapes that I've got about you've already got it. The moment that we understand that we've already got it, whoa, look out. Look out, world. We've already got health. We've already got our relationships in order. We've already got the finances at hand to do God's work. We've already got it. We've got everything. And yet we don't get it. In here, it's too hard. There's a lot of grey areas. But if we put our trust in God and we say, "Okay, Lord, I know you went to the cross, you paid for all this stuff, and I believe it. I'm activating my faith in line with what your word says, and I'm receiving that now. Lord, you know where I am with my finances, and I'm receiving the finances now. I'm claiming them, I'm seeing them coming in. They are mine now. Not in 2 weeks' time when the bill's paid. Or due to be paid? Yeah, it's now. Because I am royalty. You are royalty. I'm preaching myself happy here. We're royalty. We're sons. In Galatians 3, verse 26. In Romans 8, verse 24. In Thessalonians 5, verse 5. In 1 John 3, verse 1. It goes on and on and on. How many times do we have to read it and get it through our thick skulls that we are sons and daughters of a living God? If it says it over and over in here, God must think it's pretty important, Amen? Thank you. It also goes on and says that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We're citizens. This is pretty exciting. Pretty exciting stuff. You know, it got me thinking about myself. And when I was a little boy, and Ben and John reminded me of a book that I've got. Can everyone see the title of that? My Book About Me. And that is a picture of me when I was a little boy. Yeah, I used to be cute. I had hair. And in this book, I won't read the whole book, and you're welcome to come and have a look at it later on. It goes on about I had to look at myself and to answer the questions. My teeth. How much do I weigh? I weigh 3.5 pounds. How tall am I? I am 5 feet 4 inches tall. How many teeth do I have? I have 16 up and 16 down. And it goes on and on. My hair looks like this. I'm a great artist. And it goes on and on and on. How big is my foot? What color is my eyes? How big is my nose? Do I have freckles? Do I wear glasses? There's heaps. I think I lied a lot in this book too. Looking at my house, how many windows and doors did I have? But the things that stuck out to me were the things that I observed about myself and my best friends. Do I get mad at people? That goes on and on. You know, we may not have a physical book about ourselves, but we have a book about ourselves in our mind on what way we think about ourselves. How do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself being successful in life? Do you have a mental picture of yourself being successful? If you don't, you need to reboot, because God's word says that we are to be successful. His will is for us to prosper in all areas, not in some areas. Is that right, Pastor? In all areas? Do we see ourselves being sick? In wheelchairs, or getting old. Look, in the natural, we may be getting old, but I still feel 16 on the inside, and that's the way I am seeing myself every morning when I look at myself in the mirror. I have a heart of a 16-year-old, and just last week when we went to the doctors for our checkup, he said my blood pressure is a blood pressure of an 18-year-old. Praise God! I'm only 18, 16 going on 18. We need to get a fresh understanding, a fresh look about ourselves, whether that means to spruce ourselves up and buy a new shirt, whether that's in business. You know, for myself, being a tradesman, I get around in paint-covered King G's and steel cap boots and a fluoro shirt on site. But now that I'm a builder, God has been talking to me about, okay, start looking like the builder. Start behaving like a builder. Don't you keep your tools, but don't get on the tools. Builders don't get on tools. They dictate. They tell people what to do. They subcontract out. Start orchestrating. Be the person that you're supposed to be. Be the professional that you can see yourself being. If you can harness your imagination and start seeing yourself doing something, the battle's already half over. You're well on your way to being that person. You know, when I had apprentices, and I was interviewing for apprentices or for people in recruitment, I would always ask, can you see yourself doing this job? Because every time I'd go for a job interview and the person would ask me, now, do you have anything else to say? I would always look them in the eye and say, you know what? I can see myself doing this and doing really well. That's mine. And I'm taking claims. And I never You can test me on this. I've never failed a final interview on a job. I've always got the job. Always. Because I've seen myself doing it. Am I penetrating anybody here? Are you thinking about what we're saying? You know, I was also thinking about when I was in primary school and how the devil starts early, doesn't he? He doesn't wait until you're like in your late 20s and you're being successful to start sowing seeds of doubt. He starts early. No, because he wants to rip you out of the ground and ruin you before you even get started. You know, when I was at school, I was probably not the most academically conscientious person. I loved sport. I did really well at sport, in particular swimming. Joy can relate to that, swimming. But I could never see myself being number one because there was one guy who was my best friend who was an excellent swimmer, Australian standard swimmer. And I could never see myself beating him, ever. And you know what? I never did. Oh, except for once when he had the flu and we raced, and I think he let me win anyway. Yeah. To give you an indication, when we used to win, we were swimming like Brisbane standard and state standard races, it'd be him and me. And butterfly, I remember this time we were swimming 100 metres butterfly and we'd done the turn at the 50 metre mark and coming back and I could feel him right beside me. We were right in the middle of the lane and I happened to glance over and he was looking at me smiling. He was smiling at me and I was sweating beads trying to beat this guy. And he smiled and the next thing I knew, I could just see his feet. Boom, boom, boom. He took off because I could never imagine myself ever beating him and I never did. Your imagination is powerful. It really is. God's given us a great imagination. Sometimes I think he's given me a really weird imagination because I think of all these weird and wonderful things. But I praise God for that. I wouldn't have it any other way. I love my imagination. You know, I was also told at school by a teacher in a public forum that Peter Edwards would not work in an iron lung. Do you young people know what an iron lung is? It's a machine or a contraption that breathes for you. It does the breathing, does the heartbeat, keeps you alive. It keeps you alive. He's saying that I wouldn't even work in an iron lung. And I rebuked that. But you know, for years that scarred me. For me to remember that now, that's had an impact on my life, hasn't it? You know, and I went through school thinking, oh, man, I knew I could do the work, and I passed. I passed school. You know, I could have gone on to bigger and better things because I had some goals. I had some ideas about where I should be in life, and I wasn't a Christian back then, but I had some plans. But I was told, oh, look, you may as well go and get a trade. That's all you're going to get. You're not going to go to uni. You're not smart enough, Edwards, to do that. And I was believing it. I was soaking it up because I was young. So the devil started young, started when I was young, to put me down. Then I went into my 20s. I got an apprenticeship, and I did really well. And that's when positive people started to speak into my life. Don't get me wrong, my parents are very positive, and they're very supportive and everything. But it wasn't until I had my first boss, and he said, oh, you are an excellent tradesman. You will be a really good builder. You know, you can do this, you can do that. Oh, you're doing that to a standard of the tradesman already and you're only in your second year. And it wasn't long till I got an award for being Bricklayer of the Year Queensland-wide. Queensland-wide, me. Who would have thought? So I started to get it at that age. Started to get an awareness that I was created for bigger things. You know, and I started to also think about all the things that I've succeeded through in life. And it's important that we look at those and write them down. I encourage you, when you're having your quiet times, write down all the successes that you have in life, all the things that you've done, and start praising God for those and thanking God for those that He's created you to be something much, much bigger, much more powerful. Like I went back to study later on in life and remedial therapies, and I got top of my college. Yet I wouldn't work in an iron lung, would I? Oh, no. I'm starting to click into gear. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. You know, I joined Australia Post, and I quickly went through the ranks of Australia Post. I didn't want to be on a motorbike all the time. I was in management. I was doing a lot of stuff in management throughout Queensland, all through regional Queensland. What a great experience that was. You know, I became a sales rep after Jules and I got married. I tried sales, which I'd never done before, and it was selling banner stands and advertising for trade shows and exhibitions, and a pretty hard sell. But to this day, I had the two largest contracts that company has ever had in Australia, and it just fell on my lap. By that time, I'd become a Christian, a born-again Christian. And it was Mustang Cruises, which build the largest cruise or line boats, the big, huge, big things, not the tinnies, but the big ones, Mustang Cruises and QUT. We all know of QUT, the university. Well, they still today use the same product that I sold them how many years ago? 10 years ago nearly. And they keep renewing their contract. God used me there. I succeeded in that. And the boss there will testify to that. I also went and became the general manager for Feed the Children Australia. Got asked to do it. That was an experience too. And God blessed me through that whole process, and I've made a lot of contacts and good friends through there. The list goes on and on and on. And now I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a business owner. And yes, it's had its ups and downs, but now God is really working with me. He's helping me to change my attitude. He's put a fire in me now to succeed and to be an example to my boys and to be an example to you, to be an example to the people out there, to be an example to the non-Christians of how it is when you walk with God. Because I've already got it. I've already got the success. As Joy reminded me the other night, I've already got the jobs. I need to call them and say, hey, come on. Let's get started. I've already got it. It's mine. Thank you, Lord. He's given me dreams and ambitions for more businesses, more things that are different from construction. He's given me inventions that I need to pursue and to grab hold of and say, it's not here yet. It's coming. I'm grabbing hold of that. Lord, give me some more for that. I want more. This is a year of more. Hello? We've been hearing this from our pastor. This is a year of more. Isn't it, Phil? It's a year of more. The quicker we grasp hold of this and to run with it and start exercising our faith muscles and declaring that it's a year of more, it's going to happen. You'll see them coming in. You'll see these chairs being filled up. You'll see the testimony in Tucker Nights, new people coming through to hear what God is doing in our lives. It's a year of more. But if we can't imagine it, is it going to happen? I think it's going to happen, but it's going to take a lot longer. Joel's got a good imagination. Jules, you've got a good imagination. In Proverbs 23, verse 7. Let's have a look at that. Go to Proverbs 23, verse 7. Give me an oi when you're there. Oi. Thank you. We know this one. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And I've written in there because we should write notes in our Bible about God stuff. I've written in there my imagination. So how I imagine myself, it's going to happen. You can write in there if you want. And Jules yesterday reminded me or showed me a new scripture. It's also in Proverbs 16, verse 1. just flip over to that. It's only about a page or two before. Proverbs 16, verse 1. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Jules asked me, what does that mean to you? And I thought, well, I've got to prepare my heart about how I see myself. I've got to prepare my imagination about how I see where I'm going, what God has in store for me and for my family. But most importantly, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. It's okay to have it in here. It's good to have it in here and in your heart. But you've got to confess it. You've got to say it. You've got to speak it as though you've already got it, because you've got it. Andrew Womack keeps telling me every time I turn the car on and it keeps clicking into gear on my Bluetooth, you've already got it. I've already got it. You've got it. Are you saying it? Are you saying it? When you get up in the morning, you should be getting out of bed, wiping the sleep out of your eyes, and saying, I've already got it. Those sales today, I've got them. I'm kicking goals for you, Lord. Those jobs, I've got them. That health, I've got it. Those people that I'm going to go and talk to today, they don't know what's going to hit them, but I've got them. I'm going to tell them about God. I'm going to show them that God is real. And I'm going to stick it to the devil. Because he sucks, man. I hope I haven't stood out of line by saying that in church, but he's gutter. He's just the lowest of lows. And he wants us to dwell there. He wants us to stay in the gutter. He wants us not to be successful. He wants us to be Christians, of course. Yeah, be Christians. Tell everyone you're a Christian. But stay down there. Stay poor. Stay sick. Because what a great testimony that is to other Christians to unsaved. Hey, look, they're Christians, but, oh, man, he's got cancer. Oh, man, what kind of God? If he believes in God, would God let him stay sick like that? I don't want to be a Christian. No. What a deceiver. Do we see what kind of cloud we've been living in for so many years? Or it's time to burst through that and to get above the cloud and to realize who we are. You know, I was tossing and turning last night thinking about stuff, thinking about things and declaring that all the things that have been stirring up in my heart about myself. And it's reminded me of a movie which a lot of you people have probably watched called The Matrix. Has anyone seen The Matrix? Most of you have. Most of you young tackers probably haven't. So I'm going to ask Pastor Les if he can just show a little clip about this. Now, just to fill you in while Pastor Les is getting that ready, it's a story about this guy, Mr. Anderson, his name is. But in reality, his name is Nemo online and in the cyber world. Neo. Who did I say? Nemo. Finding Nemo. Just keep swimming. Neo. Thank you. He's Neo. And they're the baddies, okay? They're the baddies, the Mr. Agent Smiths. Got that right. The Agent Smiths. So there's the goodies who are Neo and his team. And there's the baddies, the Mr. Smiths. Now, the baddies are trying to, or have been, clouding everybody's, the whole world's imagination and perception of themselves. They've been deceived. The whole human race has been deceived. And at this point of this clip, Neo starts to get it. He's been told that he's the one. He's the one that's going to start the change, the breakthroughs. He's the one that can defeat, because he's already got it. He's already got the power. He just had to get it from his head knowledge into his heart and realize that he is created to be a mighty weapon of destruction for the enemy. And as you watch the expression on the enemy's face when they realize that, hang on, he's starting to get it. So have a look at this clip. Believed in himself. I like the part there, and you probably couldn't see it, but where he did get beaten and he fell over and blood came out of his mouth, and Mr. Smith thought that he's on top of these things, and he got up and shook himself. And you might not have seen it, but you saw the dust come off him. We as Christians need to shake off the dust. We need to shake off everything that the devil has put upon us and to shake it off. That really hit me when I watched it this morning. I went, man, we got to shake ourselves. To shake ourselves and get rid of all the rubbish that he's been putting on us. And to say, come on, give it your best shot. And as you can see, he beat the snot out of him. He got hit by a train. Later on in the movie, he even gets more revelation of what he is and who he is created to be. And he wins. But I don't expect you young people to watch the rest of that movie. But what a revelation it is. What a great God that we serve. So in my book about me, there's going to be a new page at the back there. There's going to be a new chapter that I'm going to be writing about myself. And you should have your book about you. The old things are past. The new has started. And our book is a living book about ourselves. What are you going to say about you? What am I going to say about myself in the next ongoing pages, the next chapters of our lives? Are we going to say the things that we've been drilled into us for the past 20, 30 years? Are we going to continue upon that road and be submitted, to be pushed down, to be held back? Or are we willing to believe what God's word says about you and me? I'm an overcomer. I'm going through. I'm above only and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the pigeon, not the statue. What are you? And I'll leave that with you. Thank you, Jesus.
This message is distributed free of charge by the friends and partners of Transformers Christian Church. If you'd like to partner with us and help send this to others free of charge, then email info@transformers.org.au. Have a great day.